or it's really going at 30 per hour if it was stationary, right? Because it's going, one's going 80 and the other one's going at 30. And so relative to it, it's going 110, right? A stationary observer on the roadside would measure the speed of car B as what? This is a good question, because if you didn't read it properly, you'd say, oh, it's 110 kilometers per hour. No, but that's what car A is watching, right? So the best answer for that would be 3A. Does that make sense? Hello, I need an argument here.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Can you write? 3A, yeah. Because it's car A observing it going at 110 kilometers per hour. But you've got 80 kilometers per hour and you've got 110 kilometers per hour. Okay, and so you've got 30 kilometers per hour doing it. Yeah, because it's approaching it. Right? So therefore the answer is 3A. Yep. Okay. And question number four. So they want to find the angle. And so a swimmer swims directly across the river at 0.75 meters per second. Of course, it's not going to go straight directly because the river is flowing at 1.5 meters per second towards the west, right? It's going towards the west. Okay, so it's going 1.8 meters per second to the west, and it's going 0.75 across, right? Across. Okay, so the dashed line is 0.75. The part on top is 1.8. So you got a triangle here of 1.8, and on the top part, and you've got like the one that looks a lot like hypotenuse as 0.75. It's not drawn scale. So. Oh, is it? Oh, have I done this wrong? That's a resultant. Then I'm wrong. Okay, wait. Let me do this on the board. And I can do, okay, so I need you guys to present now. I want it to try screen. I want this to go to the board.
So can I go west? Can I go to the board? Oh, okay.
Okay, you can't see the board, right? So if I go like that, can you guys see the board?
Nope. Okay, what about if I do that? Okay, cancel. Okay, can I do that? Present now. Window, twice screen, share. There, no. Share. No. Wait, no. What can you see? Okay. Yeah, I don't want that. I want the board. Where are you board? I want the board.
Here we go. Okay, here we go. Yeah, I think so. Is that it? Okay, excellent. Yeah. Okay, so you've got the screen, you see the board?
Yep.
Okay, so you're going 0.75 that way, yes? Well, you're trying going that way. Then, but the river's going that way at 0.18 meters per second. But therefore, your voyage is this way. And we want to find x. So therefore, that's tan opposite. 10 theta is opposite, so 0.75 over 1.8. Yeah? And so that's equal to 10 minus 1, 0.75 over 1.8. And so you get an answer of 26.
It's the other way around, I think.
It's opposite. Is it opposite over adjacent or adjacent over opposite?
Opposite.
Of course, it's 1.8. So it's 1.8. over 0.75. 0.75. Yeah, that's it. Yep, that's why I got wrong. Okay, so 67.4. Third C. Four is C. Yeah, okay, yes. Okay, that's true. It's not on scale. Yeah, it's not scale. Okay, yes. Okay. Oh, yes, it's not 0.75. It's true. It's not zero. That would be way smaller. I misread this. Okay, let's do number five. A 10-kilogram and a 15-kilogram mass are attached by a light and elastic string and are placed on a frictionless surface. A force of 50 newtons pulls both masses to the right as shown. With what force does a 10-kilogram mass pull on the 15-kilogram? Okay, so what force is it experiencing? Well, the net force that it experiences, that's 50 divided by 25, so it's got an acceleration of 2. So therefore, the net force experienced by it has to be 2 times 10, 20 newtons. That's 20 newtons required to move the 10-kilogram. So therefore, it's got an opposition force of 20 newtons. So your answer should be 5C. Is that correct? 5C, tell you about it, is that right?
Right.
Excellent. Okay. Let's go from 6 to 10. 6 to 10. Six. What? Okay. Traveling at a velocity of 20 meters per second breaks hard and slips in 2 seconds. Okay. Oh, you can't hear me? Okay. Well, no, okay. So I've got V equals to U plus V. Okay, so I've got the V equals to V equals M2. So the velocity of V is 20 plus perhaps in 20 seconds acceleration. Wow, that's pretty fast. So therefore, that's acceleration is physics squared. It's a pretty good acceleration. So therefore, V squared is V squared is this. So that's 20 squared. And it's over 2 times 18. That's right.
That is such a good question. That's going to get everybody. Yeah, 6 to 10, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Are you going with it? 9, excellent. That's right. So you're going, okay, if you're going that way, you're going that way. Okay. So can we draw this? How many vectors can we draw here? Okay. Yep. Okay, so we've got 100 newtons going here. We've got 50 newtons going here. We've got 50 newtons going here. Okay. So my resultant's still going in this direction, though. And my resultant's still going in this direction. Yeah. Okay.
D. Okay. But it doesn't give you that, but it doesn't give you a southwest direction though. It doesn't give you, it gives you a south, it gives you a southeast direction. In all the resultants, it all gives you southeast. So you got, so you got this value here, okay, 50 squared, and so the difference there, 50 squared plus means 50 squared. Okay. Yeah, I know. So it can't go southwest. Okay. These are hard questions. These are really, really hard questions. Yeah, they're horrible. Tell me about how you're going.
I'm a little unsure on eight.
Hey, they're very, very all iffy. Very iffy. Okay, they're very, very iffy. Now, let's look at number six. Number six, we just use the equation. So this question relates to question number six and seven. The next two questions relate to it. So we all got 20 meters, right? For 6B. Yep. Now, the next part, number seven, is crazy. It goes, what would be the coefficient of friction between the tie and the row? Now, we're assuming that friction is the only force that actually slows that down. That was a net force, right? Okay, and we have an acceleration or deceleration of minus 10, right? And so that's what the acceleration was 10. The mass of the object, so the frictional force is equal to the coefficient times the normal. Remember that? The frictional force? So the frictional force, that should be frictional force. The frictional force is equal to the coefficient times the normal. Yes?
Yeah.
No? Okay, so the frictional force is the net force, right? The coefficient, the frictional force is the net force. It's what slows it down. Can we agree with that? Hello? Yep, okay. So therefore, that's your mass times acceleration, which is equal to mu times your normal force, which is your mass times g. Now, your mass, you can cancel each other out. The masses are the same. They're the same thing. Your acceleration is 10, right? It's negative 10. Well, it doesn't really matter if it's negative. It's just a value. It's a coefficient. It doesn't, the vector value has no significance. So you've got 10 divided by 9.8, and that's what your coefficient. So the answer for 7 is A. Because the masses are not required. Yeah, exactly, because you thought it cannot be determined as mass is unknown, which is true, the mass is not known, but you don't need it because they cancel each other out. Because the only acceleration that, well, the acceleration is minus 10, and it's minus 10 because it's slowing down. It's slowing down to, I don't know, frictional force. That's the only issue, though. Traveling velocity, and the motorcycle brakes hard, so it's a frictional force. And the issue with this question would be, well, we're not using the friction of the road. It's the friction of the tire pads with the whatever. But if they said the only friction, and it's based on the acceleration, MA, times the mu and the normal. So therefore, it's A on G. Hello? Okay. Tell you about it. What do you reckon?
Wait, can you explain again why the frictional force is same as, yeah?
Well, the only way you can determine the frictional force, well, you can determine it because it's applied force, is equal to mu times n, right? You've seen that equation before, right? Now, the only reason why it's stopping, the only way, the reason why it's decelerating is because of frictional force. So your net force is a frictional force. When everything slows down, remember we did a question on the carpet or whatever. Slows it down is a frictional force, opposing force, which is equal to mu times, then that's your normal force, which is mg.
Mg, yeah, okay, yeah.
And so now your coefficient is equal to ma on mg.
All right, okay.
And that gives you a on g. Now the negative sign is irrelevant. Question number eight. This is hard. Because these spores separate, right? And because you think it's can somebody here find any justification why this could be an inelastic collision? An inelastic collision? Is there any here thing that tells you that this is an inelastic collision? Because to me, this is an elastic collision. A billiard player lines up a white ball to strike another ball into the corner pocket. Everyone hears the strike. I don't know if they say because they hear the strike and watches both white ball and other ball sink into different pockets. Stats currently identifies what has occurred. Now, momentum is always conserved, right? So it's either going to be A or C. I think because they go, everyone hears the strike and watches, it's that everyone hears the strike, they're saying that the rest of the kinetic energy is being converted to sound. I think they're talking about the motion of the ball. That's why they're making it sound like that. This is a horrible question because I would think, the ball separate, and because it's an elastic collision, you assume that its kinetic energy is conserved. But I think because they wrote down, everyone hears a strike, that means that the kinetic energy has been converted to sound. And that's why it's been conserved. All right? But that's why they want C. But it's very, very, that's very slight. That is very slight. Because to me, that's an inelastic collision. That to me, that's like an elastic collision. Because billiard balls are generally always elastic. The sound, they wanted the sound part to catch you guys out. Yeah, they wanted the sound to catch you guys out. Okay, let's do the next one. Well, this is a good question. Because you've got velocity here, you've got there, and let's call this north, and let's call this south. And let's go like that, right? So it goes here, the car is always heading in the same direction. Is that true? Is the car always going the same direction?
No.
No, it's not.
No.
It's slowing down, slowing down to south, and then it speeds up going in the other direction. So it can't be A. The car is traveling at constant velocity. No, that's not true because it's got a gradient, right? It's velocity. Okay, so we can say, okay, the car crosses the same point of road more than once in its journey. Yeah, that's true. That's very well thought. If you got that one, the car has a changing. No, it doesn't have a changing acceleration. It's got a constant acceleration. So therefore, that's a good answer. This is a good question. This is a very good question. It's a pain in the ass. Oh, because you're going and it stops and then it goes back. So it's going back to the other direction. So therefore, that's why 9C is correct. Because it stops there. It stops here, and then it goes in the opposite direction. Yeah. So therefore, 9C is the best answer.
Yeah.
That's a tricky one. That is a tricky one. Question number ten. It's either going to be C or D, but they're wrong because the direction has to be southeast. It can't be as you can draw this many different times, many different ways. You're always going to get the same answer because you can go 45 degrees this way. You can go 50 newtons that way, right? Because that's 100 newtons and you draw it to scale. You go 50 newtons that way and your resultant is always going southeast, okay? So, and it's that vector here. As you can see, it's a smaller vector, right? It's a smaller vector. So therefore, you subtract the difference because you got that vector and you got this one. So it's subtracting the difference. You can draw this in so many different ways. You go 50 newtons that way. You go 50 newtons that way, right? And then you've got another 100 newtons going this direction. So you've got another value going this direction, right? So you got more going that direction. Yeah. So in all these, in all these, the best answer there has to be D. You don't have to do the trick to actually figure it out. But the best answer is D. Okay, Tim D. Okay. Okay, guys, let's do some, let's do 11 to 13. Let's do that one now. 11 to 13.
So how many you got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8. Let's see. So we've got 3.2 plus 3.6 plus.
Was uncertainty half the smallest increment? I forgot.
Okay, yeah, so the way they get the uncertainty is they get the highest increment, the highest value. Okay, so 10 divided by 3.7 minus the 10 divided by the average. The average time. So 10 divided by 3.14. And so they subtract the difference, and that's your uncertainty. So 10 divided by 3.7 minus 10 divided by 3.14. And they get it's absolute value, so they get 0.48. But I don't get, what's your average? What's your average velocity? I didn't do this very well. No. Assume measure of the following times and seconds for their motion. So 3.3, 3.6, 2.8,
2.9, 3.7. No, it's right. Yeah.
What'd you get?
I got 3.14 as well.
Yeah, they get 3.14. Excellent. Okay, and then that's the average time. Then they get the. If this space was 10 meters, so it's 10 divided by 3.14.
All right.
So you've got 10 divided by 3.14, and I get an answer of 3.18. Is that correct? Yeah, so their average velocity, 3.18. Okay. Now, the uncertainty is 10 divided by, that's of the highest value, subtract that from 10 minus the 3.14, which is 3.18, and that will give you the uncertainty. So it's absolute values, it's absolute. So if you look at the board, you've got the uncertainty is equal to, so I put absolute, 10 divided by 3.7, minus 10, the distance divided by the average time, which is 3.14. And so they get an answer of 0.48 meters per second. 0.48 meters per second. Yep. Okay. Okay. Wait. And the first answer for the other one was FX for question number 11, I think. FX. And question number 9, was it? Question number 11. FX is equal to 43 newtons. Is that right? Can you check if it's right, guys? FY is equal to 25 newtons. Is that correct? That's 50 cos 30. That's 50 sin 30. Okay. Excellent. Okay, so that's 50 cos 30, 50 sin 30. Excellent. Okay. Well, see what answers can you give me for this one, number 13. Okay. Graphs are often created when analyzing straight line motion. Why are graphs usually required in data analysis?
Is it data analysis in general?
Yeah, yes.
All right.
Yeah, so give me something. Give me an opinion.
I put like prediction and seeing trends. And predict things, yeah.
Oh, that's a good answer. That's one answer they've got there. A graph allows us to see trends in data more clearly. Excellent. What else could you can see? What else?
I mean, like, with those trends, you can also make predictions.
That's a good one. Yeah, you can, which allows for predictions. What do you call that? What do you call that? What's the word? What's the word? What's the word where you do predictions? You what's the word? Oh, what's the word when you actually when you extend the graph, extrapolate? When you extrapolate the graph, you can actually make predictions. That's true. Extrapolate. Okay. It also look at this. It also allows outliers to be more easily identified. It also allows outliers to be more easily identified. Also, this is a good one. Mathematical relationships can also be better inferred from graphs. That's a good answer. Mathematical relationships can also be better inferred from graphs. Mathematical relationships can also be better inferred from graphs. Mathematical relationships can also be better inferred from graphs. So a graph allows us to see trends in data more clearly. It also allows outliers to be more easily identified. And mathematical relationships can also be better inferred from graphs. Okay, cool. I reckon that's a good one. Mathematical relationships can also be better inferred from graphs. Okay, let's do 14, guys. 14. How are we going? Question 14. Coming on, guys. Give me something. Hello. Hello. Pranav, how are you going? Which, oh, are we with the toy truck? Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so we've got a toy truck. Okay, so we've got M1, U1 plus M2, U2 is to M1, V1 plus M2, V2. Okay, V2. Okay, so what do we have? We've got a toy truck of 200 grams. Now, it's all 200 grams, so the masses can cancel each other out. We can put 0.2 just to make it easy for ourselves. Truck was a spring traveling at 0.3. Okay, 0.3. Okay, collides with the one I'm traveling in the same direction at, okay, so 0.1. So it's traveling at, in the same direction, so 0.2. Excellent. Is it equal, okay? The car moves forward, traveling at an increased speed of 0.7. Okay. Calculate the speed of the truck. Okay, so the car moves off. So the truck was 0.2. Okay, but we don't know the speed of the truck. So it's V1. But we know the speed of the car because it's 0.1 and it's going at 0.3. Excellent. Okay, so we've got everything here. We've got 0.2 times 0.3. Okay, 0.2 times 0.3, and we get 0.06 plus 0.02. Okay, is equal to 0.2V1 plus 0.03. Excellent. So that becomes 0.08 minus 0.03 is equal to over 0.2V1. Okay, so we've got, so that's 0.05 over 0.2, and that gives us an answer of 0.25. So it's because it's going in the same direction. So the truck is going at 0.25 meters per second. Okay. Yep. Does that make any sense? Yeah? Hey, Matt, we're good with that?
Yep, all right.
Is that what you got?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so now the question goes, is collision elastic? You have to find your response. Well, it only is if we know all the kinetic energy before and after. So the kinetic energy before has to equal the kinetic energy after, the total sum. If they don't equal, then the answer is no. So we've got, so kinetic energy initial has to be equal to kinetic energy after final. If they're equal, then therefore elastic. For elastic. Okay, if they're equal. If they're not equal, inelastic. Okay, not equal, they're inelastic. So half M1 V1 squared plus half, it should be U2 squared, so that should be U. That should be U2. U1 squared is equal to half MV1 squared plus half MV2 squared. Okay, and so So half times it's point because it's got to be in joules. And so it's going at 0.3 squared plus half times the mass of the car, which is 0.1, times going at 0.2 squared. Okay, and that's equal to half times the mass of the truck, which is 0.2 times 0.25 squared plus see if they're equal, and so and the other one would be half the M here, and that should be 0.1 times 0.3 squared. Now if they don't match, therefore it's not conserved. Okay, so what do we have? We've got, okay, we've got 0.3 squared. That's just one. I'm using my phone. Let's use my calculator. Okay, so we've got 0.3 squared is equal to that. 0.3 squared times 0.2 times 0.5, 0.09 plus, okay, so we've got 0.2 squared times 0.1 times 0.5, that's a 0.002. Okay, and here we've got 0.25 squared times 0.2 times 0.5, 0.0625 plus 0.3 squared times 0.1 times 0.5. And that's 0.0045. Did I get that going right? So it's 0.25 squared times 0.2 times 0.5, 0.00625. Okay. So plus 0.0045. We get 0.0075, and we get 0.009 plus 0.02, and we get 0.009 plus 0.002, we get 0.011. Not the same. There's not much difference though, but it's not the same. They're not the same, so therefore kinetic energy is not conserved. Not conserved. Kinetic energy is not conserved. Okay. Guys, let's do number 15. Have we done 15? Let's do number 6 of 15. Ooh. Okay. Question 15. So, you've done it. Excellent. So, Sally was driving a car at constant speed of 10 meters per second along a stretch of road. The total mass of the car and driver is 1,500 kilometers. Sally saw a traffic light in front of her from green to red. It took her 1.5 seconds to see the light change and make the decision to apply her brakes in order to stop the car. From the moment Sally sees the traffic light turn red, what distance did the car travel before Sally applied the brakes? What distance did Sally apply the brakes? Okay. So, excellent. So, that's only 2 marks. So is that 1.5 times 10? 15A? Okay, so it's 1.5 times 10, yeah, because there's no acceleration. There's no acceleration here. Because they're going at a constant speed of 10 meters per second. So that therefore she's going at a distance, she traveled 15 meters. Wow. Tell you about, did you get that 15 meters?
Yeah.
15 meters, yep, 15A, 15 meters. Once applied the brakes, it took her 5.1 seconds to come to a stop.
Assuming deceleration is constant, what was the magnitude of the car's deceleration? Okay, so you're going at 10 meters per second and applies the brakes. It took a 5.1 seconds to come to a stop. So therefore, those 5.1 seconds. You've got an initial velocity of 10. You've got a final velocity of 0. Okay, it took a 5.1 seconds to actually come to a stop. So therefore, her acceleration would be, I don't even know if this, they've done it right. So you got your acceleration would be A is equal to B minus U on T. That's equal to 0. That's minus 10. That's 5.1. So whatever that is. So 10 divided by 5.1 is negative answer because it's coming to a rest. So minus 9.6 meters per second squared. Excellent. Okay. If Sally's car came to a stop next to the traffic light, how far from it had she been when she first saw it change from green to red? Wow. If Sally's car came to a stop next to the traffic light, how far from it had she been when she first saw it change from green to red? Excellent. So, okay, green to red. It took a 1.5 to see the light change from to change and make to apply the brakes to stop the car. If Sally's car came to a stop next to the traffic light, how far from it had she been when she first saw it change from green to red? So we have to add up all the times, guys. Would we have to add up all the times or just add up throughout the 5.1? If Sally's car came to a stop next to the traffic lights, how far from it had it been when she first saw it change from green to red? From the moment Sally sees the traffic light turn red, what distance did the car travel before she applied the brakes? Oh, we could use that. Okay. So you know what we could do? We already know that she moved 15 meters. We already know she moved 15 meters. Okay. We can say S is equal to UT plus half AT squared. So S, okay, so she's going to initially at 10. 5.1 plus half times her acceleration minus 1.96 times 5.1 squared. We've got whatever distance that is, that's already added to the 15 meters. So all this here goes there. Okay. So that's 51 minus. So it's 5.1 squared times 1.96 times 0.5. So that's 25.4898. Yeah? Right? Okay. And that's, okay. Okay, so 51 minus answer plus 15, so 40.51. So the total distance she travels since she stopped, well, the total distance is 40.51 meters. Well done. Yeah. Cool. Okay, guys, let's see if we can do 16. 16. Oh, ooh, that's that. That's that. That's 15. Oh, yeah.
No.
Yes, one. Yeah, one. Yeah, thank you.
I know I took it out of my bus. That's 1 times 1800. That's slowing down. If it's an excess area in the opposite direction of motion, that's thus slowing down, yeah. If the driving force provided by the bus motor during the first 10 seconds of the movement is constant at 48.5, oh, okay. That's 1.5. 1.5, okay. So, 1.5 times 18,000 is equal to that. 18,000. That's 1,500. Okay, cool. Okay. Okay. No, that's actually the question. Okay, there.
Hey, Pranav, can you hear me? Okay, tell you about, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, something happened. I only touched this, and then disappeared. You can't see the screen.
Okay, I'll join you.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Okay. Cool. Thank you. Okay, now let's go back to here. No. Okay.
Okay. Okay, and then the angle here. This is very good. So your energy is equal to energy sub theta minus mg cos theta. So your MA is equal to mg sin theta minus mg. Your mass acceleration is 2 times 2 times 1.8 times sine 30 minus u times 2 times 1.8 times cos 30. So that's equal to 4. It's equal to, okay. So you've got 2 times 9.8 times 9.30.
Sir, can we go to 16?
Which one?
16.
Let's do 16. Okay. So in 16, okay, we'll go 16. Okay, so we've got the acceleration of the bus, right? We got the acceleration of the bus. You want to turn that off?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. That's because you're
creeping
here.
Oh, this for me. Okay. Okay. You got the screen? Hey, guys, you got the screen? No? What about this? I'm going to get rid of this for you. No, I can't. I didn't do that. Okay. Okay. Now, what is the bus acceleration at t equals 60 seconds? Well, it goes from 50 to 0 in 15 seconds. Right? I can't get rid of me. Yep. Okay, can you say so it on? Okay, it's still echoing. I still like resonance. Hey, can you guys hear me? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's going from 15 to 0 in
15 meters in a vault. So it's got the velocity there, and it's got the time. And the time it goes from 15 to zero, okay, and it does it in 15 seconds, right? So therefore, its initial velocity is 15. Its final velocity is zero, and it does it in 15 seconds. This is the gradient of the graph there in t equals 60 seconds. So that slope is the same acceleration. Does that make sense, Taya?
Okay, yeah, just making sure.
The graph at 60 seconds, it's the same, that gradient that goes down. So the initial velocity there, the final velocity is zero. The initial velocity was 15 meters per second, and it happens in 15 seconds. So therefore, it decelerates at 1 meter per second squared. Yeah? So that's 2 marks. So what's the bus acceleration? Well, it's minus 1 meter per second squared. What is the net force acting on the bus in 60 seconds? Okay, and so that's easy. So what is the net force? Well, we know that force is mass times acceleration. And the mass of the bus is 18,000 kilograms times minus 1. And so its net force, it's slowing down. Minus 18,000 newtons because it's slowing down. Slowing down. Slowing down. Okay, so it's slowing down. That's why it's negative. Okay, it's B. C. So C says, okay, it's got a driving, if it's got a driving force by the bus motor the first 10 seconds. So now we look at the first 10 seconds. Now in the first 10 seconds, it's accelerating, right? It's going from 0 to 15. So acceleration is V minus U on T. So it's going at, its final velocity is 15, its initial velocity is 0, and it does this in 10 seconds. Right? And so therefore, it's 1.5 meters per second squared. 1.5 meters per second squared. Excellent. So if the driving force provides a bus during the first 10 seconds of the journey was a constant. So this is a driving force. This is the applied force, but this is not the net force. Net force is the applied force minus the resistive force. So we'll call it F for resistive. So what's the net force? Well, we know it's going at 1.5. That's acceleration. So it's mass times acceleration is equal to force applied minus the frictional force, the resistive force. Okay, so the resistive force. So we've got now the mass times acceleration. So we've got the mass, which is 18,000. We've got an acceleration of 1.5. We've got an applied force of 58,500. And then we've got the resistive force. So the resistive force is equal to 58,500 minus the 18,000 times 1.5. And that's our answer to that. That's the resistive force. I should have made it consistent. That should be resistive force. It's your resistive force. And that's your answer. So you've got 1,800. So you've got 18,000 times 1.5, okay, minus the 58,500. And so you've got 31,500 newtons resistive force. That's C. Now, what is the bus's average velocity for the 157 journey as shown by the graph? So what you guys have to do is find the total displacement. So you've got to find the whole area of the graph above and below, right? Find the total velocity, and then you've got to add them up, and then you've got to that will give you the displacement, and from that displacement you'll get the time divided by the time, and then that's your answer. So you've got to find the area of the graph, which will give you displacement, right? Did anybody do that? Did anybody find the area of the graph? Anybody? Area of the graph? Hello? Oh, they're here. They're just not listening to me, that's all. No, they're here. Pranav, you're still there, right? Pranav?
Okay.
So did you find the area of the graph?
Okay.
Does can you see C on the board?
Okay, you can see C on the board. Excellent.
Yes? Teba, can you see C on the board?
Teba.
Yeah, you can see it. Yeah, okay. Do you agree with it? Does it make any sense to you? Yep. Does that make any sense to you? No?
Oh, no. Yeah. I think I found the area of the graph wrong.
Okay. What would you get for the area of the graph?
1,287.
Okay, you know you've got to subtract one displacement from the other.
Oh, there we go. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because one, I think that's not a wrong answer, but I think you've added them up because one is negative and the other one is positive.
Yeah.
Okay. To get the net displacement, because one's going one way and the other one's going the other way.
So is it 587?
They get 421.5. But they might be wrong. I don't know. They might be wrong because they get 787.5 for the positive section, and they get minus 375 below the negative velocity. They get a resultant of 421.5 meters.
Oh, okay. I forgot something.
Okay. So but they might be wrong. I mean, if Pranav can check if they're right. I know they could have done a mistake. Sorry?
Oh, no, they're right.
They're right? You get 421.5. Yeah, okay, they're right, okay. So that's the displacement, and that's a total displacement, and that takes 150 seconds. So if the area gives you the total displacement of 421.5 meters, and so they'll have, they divide that by 150 seconds, and from there you'll get your
average, okay.
Average velocity. So that's a total displacement.
Okay, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent. Okay. Hey, guys, I'll email you the answers for these others. Okay?
All right. Yeah.
Okay, I'll email you the answers for these. But give it a go first. See if you can find the coefficient for number 17. And we nearly got up to number 19. Well, 17, 18. No, you know what? I'd love to see your answers. Matter of fact, I won't give you the answers. I want to see what you write for 18 if you can get 5 marks for it. I like to see because I want to see a long response. And you can dictate it and I'll say what you should get. Okay, so I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. No, I'll see you in 2 weeks. Yeah, I'll see you in 2 weeks. Yeah, I'll see you then. Okay, excellent. Okay, thank you. I'll send you the answers anyway. But I would like to have seen you write the answer for number 18. Okay, so I reckon it's good to see how you write it out. Okay, I'll see you guys.
See you. Thank you.
Thank you.